tracking.
But who, is this a new producer or is this one of our existing?
It's one of our existing producers who went to Brazil.
Oh, you sent him to the motherland.
And came back.
You know what?
Went to Brazil and came back.
It's something about plugging yourself back in.
Oh.
You gotta go.
You gotta go.
You gotta go. You gotta land. You gotta plug yourself in.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like this. I feel the...
You hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the raw emotion.
Yeah.
Of being in the favelas.
Yeah.
Getting escorted.
Yeah.
Having your vest on.
What's up, J-Bell?
I mean, we all the way live, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's good to have you back.
Yeah. I've been away.
You've been away. Before we jump into anything, because I always know you got something interesting. How was the trip? Tell me about the trip.
Okay. The trip was incredible. But I got to get this off my mind.
Okay. You got it.
I got to get this off my mind.
Go ahead.
We're going to get to the trip, but...
No problem.
I'm going to start calling these things Uber Diaries, my Uber Diaries.
I am ready.
Okay. So, two things happened to me this week.
Okay.
And it would almost seem like I'm making this stuff up, but I promise you I'm not.
Uber Diary.
This actually happened. Twice this week, Uber Diaries is what I'm going to call it. Now, you know how I've been telling you that I've been trying to get us kicked off air? This is probably going to do it.
Oh, gosh.
It's a little risky. It's a little risky, but I just feel like I have to get this off my chest, J-Bell.
Okay.
So, okay.
Okay.
I get in my Uber. What is today? Thursday?
Yes.
This had to have been on Saturday.
Okay.
So I get in the Uber, and the guy's name, you know, it shows the name. The guy's name was Richard.
Okay.
So
sounds like a safe guy.
Cool. So I get in the car, and the guy says, "Hello, mate." You know, he's speaking to me in a British accent, and I immediately got thrown off.
Oh, God. Okay, so Richard's look.
No.
Wait.
No. Jason, this guy, I was like, where are you from? He was from England.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my entirety of getting in the Ubers, I know this sounds crazy, Jason, I have never once had an English Uber driver. It's never happened to me before.
Are you serious?
Jason, my entire time using Uber... In England, I have never once had an English Uber driver. So when he said, "Hello, mate," I was like, "Wait a minute.
What country am I from?
He was like, "Oh, I'm from here." And the funny thing was, he understood the shock.
Wow.
He did. He was like, "You've never seen one of these before, have you?" And I was like, "You know what? I just haven't." Now, is that bad, or I want you to think.
Okay.
About all your times using Uber.
Right.
Right. How many of those drivers have been English drivers? I'm not talking about cabs. I'm talking about the Ubers.
Right.
How many have been from England? And there's just no way it's going to be that many.
10%.
10% max.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
And I'm in a lot of Ubers. Because I don't drive.
Right. So that's the first thing. And until it happens, you don't really think about it. But then when the guy said that, because when I get in a cab,
right,
I'm used to... That's what I'm used to, because those are usually British, you know.
The black cabs,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, but for them, I was like, wait a minute, huh?
Now, it's funny, because I never really thought about this.
Exactly.
But, you know, there was a significant slowdown recently. What was it? It was a holiday.
Yeah.
And a lot of, was it a Muslim holiday?
Ramadan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of the, it slowed down a lot of the drive and transportation. So that was the first time that I ever noticed anything.
Yeah.
And I was aware. I was like, oh, wow, okay, cool.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what that shows?
What's that?
Power.
Mm.
How? Because you're talking about our transportation network systems.
Yes.
And if you have a percentage of the population that controls that,
yeah,
and provides that service,
mm-hmm,
that's power.
That's power. It is.
That's power.
Yeah. So that's the first thing. That's my first. Now, the second one,
okay,
is funny.
Okay.
It's just flat out funny. I was in America one time. I was with my son, and I got in a car, you know, Uber,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, a guy started playing music or whatever. And when we got out of the car, my son said to me, he was like, did you notice that the guy switched the music when we got in the car? And I didn't. I said, no. You know, what are you talking about? Because I wasn't paying any attention.
Uh-huh.
But I remember he said that to me. So I get in an Uber yesterday. And the only reason why I remember this, J-Bell, is because once I got in the Uber, the guy was playing one of my favorite songs, like, come a camellia, come and go. Yeah. So that's one of my favorite songs.
Yes, it is.
So,
I know this, too.
Yeah. So I get in the car, and he's playing that, and I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it switches.
Oh, he thought you.
And he starts playing Future.
Oh, my culture club.
Yeah. He starts playing Future. And as soon as he did that, I think because I was enjoying that song, as soon as he switched it to Future, what my son told me hit me right away. I didn't know that was a thing. Mm. I didn't know that they do that. And that was my first experience with a guy looking at me and being like, "Yeah, he's not listening to no Comma Chameleon. Yeah. Let me switch to Future. Yeah.
You hear Simon just laugh?
Yeah, I did.
Because he loved that.
He knows, man. Look at him. Simon's all about that, man. Look
loves
at him.
Comma Chameleon.
Comma Chameleon.
What do you think Simon used to wear back then?
I bet you Simon had like the long flowing hair. You know, I bet you he was all about that life, with like a Grateful Dead t-shirt.
Ooh,
you know what
he
I mean?
Was free.
But he didn't wear the tight jeans.
He didn't. He wasn't into that, like the frail bottoms or whatever.
I think he was more like a.
We're really questioning his
style.
Yeah,
that was my Uber diary.
Yeah,
man. What you got for me, Jason?
But you know what? I gotta say, back on your Uber driver.
Yeah.
I think that's actually good service. Because they're like, hey.
In a way,
this isn't for me.
Yes.
It's almost about, it's like the courtesy, like I'm in a conversation on speakerphone. I got people in the car.
Yeah.
You know, let them out.
Yeah.
I was in an Uber one time, and a dude was on a group chat in a different language, mm-hmm, very loud.
Just talking.
Talking, and it sounded like everybody yelling at each other. And I got a 5-year-old, and I said, hey, man, you're scaring her. you're scaring her. And he turned it off. I was like, come on, man, hook me up. You're scaring her. You're scaring her. So he held me down. Mm. So you back from your trip.
Yeah, I'm back from my trip.
I missed you. You were gone. Yeah. I didn't ask many questions because you had just got back.
Yeah.
But at the launch of the NFL Academy, which we'll get into.
Oh, God, NFL Academy.
It was amazing. Your son, your oldest son, mentioned the trip.
Yeah.
And he was just talking about how cool it was, and you could see it in his face,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like life-changing.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was incredible. We went to Indonesia first. We went to Bali, Indonesia. Mm. But here's the thing. I feel like because so many people have heard of Bali and, you know, a lot of people go there, I don't like to say I went there, so I say Indonesia. It sounds more exotic. Like, I went to Indonesia, J-Bo. Right? But, yeah, I was
That's
in Bali.
That's something I would do.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, we were in Indonesia.
Oh,
you know. The people... The people there are so, just the nicest, friendliest people, man. They were so cool, so nice, such a beautiful country.
Mm.
You know, we did so many things. Mm. But just, you know, we rode these ATVs, but just riding around and seeing the natural beauty of that country, Jason.
Right.
truly incredible.
What did it do for you when you came back? Like, what's the what's the thing? Did you feel rested? Did you feel inspired? Like, what's the?
Yeah, Indonesia does that to you. Like, you feel like more connected to nature, because even though they're developed in a way, they kept a lot of things like natural. Mm. So you see like the natural beauty of the country, and it's just incredible, man. Now, the other place where we went to was Singapore.
Oh.
Now, I'd really, you know, I'd heard a lot about Singapore, but my son had told me, I think, I forget where we were, we might have been in Turkey, and he had met this little kid who was from Singapore. And so the kid was like, yeah, it's beautiful. So my son told me he wants to go to Singapore. So I was like, okay, cool.
Man, it's good to be teaching.
Yeah, I know, I know. He's living a different life than we lived.
Yes, he is.
Where, you know, what you having for lunch, J-Bell? That's where we were. And then he's talking about he wants to go to Singapore. So we went there, and this is literally the most, probably the most technologically advanced places that I'd been. Spotless. Like, never seen anything like that before. There was no trash anywhere.
I heard it's a serious crime, right?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Serious. And so it was so, so nice, so wonderful. The people there were really good. I remember I went to go play soccer out there.
You find a way to play soccer.
Yeah. And so we played soccer, and then the guys who we were playing with after the game, the guy was like, oh, you guys want some water? I was like, yeah, cool. This guy went, bought us water. You know, so we're just sitting over there drinking water. And I'm like, who does that? You understand what I mean? Like,
why are these people so nice?
Why are they so nice? But the only problem with that is it was so expensive. Oh, my goodness. The cost of everything. Mm. Ridiculous, man. Ridiculous.
And I see some expensive costs by an item that you purchased that I'm highly jealous of. Yeah. I'm not even going to get into it.
Yeah, it's okay. We're not going to talk about
it. Yeah, but I like that. Yeah, it makes me...
You know, I like to do what I can do sometimes, man. We came from nothing, J-Bell.
We came from trying to get a school lunch. Oh, man.
School lunch.
The NFL Academy.
Yeah.
Man. So.
Tell me about your experience at the NFL Academy, Jay.
So, this weekend, the first official tryout.
Yes.
So, I show up. I'm a little bit earlier than you, just because I'm closer. And I'm seeing and watching all these kids, right? Checking in, getting ready. And the first thing I thought was, I remember when OC was just talking about this.
Yeah.
It was for me, it was kind of like understanding the full story. The scope of it was almost emotional.
Yeah.
Watching that happen.
Yeah.
And then when it was taking place, right, the NFL Academy tryouts, finding kids to get into the NFL Academy, right, continuing education, hopefully scholarships somewhere else, all the positive things that come out of the sport of football. Watching these kids and how important it was for them, that opportunity, that was amazing.
Yeah.
You provided that.
It was crazy.
And Alistair and other people in this office.
Yeah.
So when I went back and looked on social media and some of these kids post, man, it meant so much to them.
Yeah.
And if you and others don't have that vision, none of that happens.
Yeah.
And there's more to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we had a special guest.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. OBJ himself. The man himself.
You know,
which was, that guy's a rock star, man.
Yo, he, Odell Beckham Jr. is a legitimate rock star.
Yeah.
Thank goodness he's a part of his academy and he got to see it. Mm. But he came out, and I'm telling you, those kids, I mean, they were ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
But he came out, they got ready to go.
Yeah.
It was good. I mean, anybody who sees that this wants is going to want to be a part of this. I'm getting more calls from more people that trainers, strength coaches back in the States that know what we're doing that are like, hey, what's up with that academy?
What's up with that?
I mean, I don't even look at my LinkedIn account. I'm getting messages and stuff. I'm like, this is crazy. This is happening. Your footprint is all over this. It's going to change lives. You already have. Football is more than a game.
Yeah.
And this academy is showing that. I'm proud of you, man. I'm glad you brought me on this ship because I don't have anything else to do.
You know, Jason, as things were, as I got out here and I looked around, I think there's certain things to me and to you or to people in general that would seem obvious.
Right. I know where you're going.
You understand what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes.
It would seem...
I know what you're saying.
Obvious. It would seem logical. It would seem like, okay, this is what needs to be done here.
Yes.
And I think you have people here
yeah.
who understand that and they see that. But there's constraints. You understand what I mean? There are constraints. And unless you're willing to
break those chains, my brother.
How? Just logically tell me how you're going to develop and grow a game exponentially here if people aren't playing the game. Just tell me how you're going to do that. How?
A lot of heavy lifting unnecessarily.
You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, everybody wants to talk about the growth of the NBA in China and all that stuff. Cool, yes. But nobody was really talking about the NBA in China until Yao Ming came through.
I was in Houston when he came in. That he made the All-Star game every year by the most votes.
Crazy.
The whole country voted
for him. They voted for him. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So if you want to look at the growth of the NBA in China or the growth of the NBA in all these other international markets, it's because they have people playing the game there. And on top of that, there are people in the NBA from those countries.
Yes.
So you're the NFL, right? You want to expand globally, as you should, as a business.
Great game.
It's an incredible game. Yep. The game itself is undeniable.
Yes.
Right? You can't deny it.
The product is what it is.
The product is what it is. If you're a fan or if you're not a fan and you just so happen to look at your TV and catch a good game, you are done. That is it for you.
You are like, they had me locked in for 4 hours.
There's no going back. There's no going
back.
Very
true.
Right?
Yep.
So my thing was, how do you get somebody who's not interested in these games to just look for a couple of minutes? How do you get them to do that? And it all goes back to the way I felt about rugby. It all goes back to that. Because I came here, and I came here during the Rugby World Cup, and everybody here was going crazy about it. You couldn't get me to look at that for 5 seconds. I was like, I have... Ugh, get out of here with that, right? You couldn't get me to do it.
Right.
But then it occurred to me, if somebody was to tell me, OC, you know what? I know you're not interested in rugby, but there's this American kid, right, who's one of the best players. There's this Nigerian kid who's one of the best players on that team, right? I'll be like, you know what?
I'm locking
in. Let me just look and see what's going on. And if I do that, and I just so happen to catch a good game, I'm finished. Now I'm a runner. So I said, okay, cool. We have to find a way to really draw the public's attention towards these things. And how do you do that? You have to have people from, because just as a source of nationalism, just national pride, you're just going to want to look just to see. And the NFL, if you look just to see, you're finished.
Yes.
You're finished.
Right.
And that's how this whole thing started. That's how this whole thing came about. And look at where we're at now, man.
It's amazing. And you said a great example by, like, the World Cup and how all the nations, I mean, there's people that just don't even care, you know, in some countries. But the World Cup's on, everybody's locked in. They're looking. That sense of pride, that, hey, you know, that's where I'm from, wherever that is. You know what's funny when you say this? This is crazy. So I think I'm Nigerian now, right?
What?
Okay. So, like, I'm watching the Nigerian soccer team the other day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm locked
in. You see how that is?
If I hear anybody that sounds Nigerian. Because I think I'm an expert now because I'm around. I'm like, yo, my crew is Nigerian. Like, yo, I'm locked in.
Yeah. You see what that does to you?
But it gets even worse. So if I meet somebody outside of Ireland from Northern Ireland, like my daughter's half, like I'm locked in.
Yeah, you're locked in.
I'm locked in. So I'm having an identity crisis because this is when I realized I was having an identity crisis. I'm in New York in my apartment going up the elevator. And a guy has a British accent with his dog. He's talking. And I go to him like, oh, man, what's up? Man? I live in London. You know, all good. He looked at me like, I've lived in New York for the past 20 years. Like, what do I care about you living in London? Like, why do you care? Why are you even talking to me? And I just look. I was like, you know what? I need to just stop this. I can't try to steal all these people's culture because I'm like, you know.
Jason, are you a cultural appropriator? Is that what you're – You're a cultural appropriator, J-Bell.
Those two words together are confusing me because I don't know if they're good or bad. I don't know if I should be laughing or try to get my lawyer. By the way, my lawyer's daughter's in here right with us right now.
Oh, okay.
And so
okay.
it's close.
Okay. Shout out to her.
Yeah, we're not going to throw her out there right now, but she's sitting in on a podcast just in case, you know, I needed a little help.
Yeah, I've just so happened to look over there. She's just looking at you with disapproval. She has straight disapproval look. She's like, oh, man,
she's like,
this guy.
I shouldn't have never came in here. Yeah. I felt so much better about J-Bell until I sat in here and watched OC destroy him.
Speaking of disapproval,
Talk to me. Am I going to regret this?
No.
Okay.
No. Speaking of disapproval, Baker Mayfield.
Ooh. What happened?
Baker Mayfield.
Quarterback, Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to say that I dislike Baker Mayfield because I don't know him as a person.
Understandable.
And I don't like when people say, oh, I don't like this guy or I hate this guy. They don't know that person. I think that's too strong. Mm-hmm. Here's what I will say about Baker Mayfield. I don't like his attitude.
Okay.
I don't. Now, Duke Johnson, the running back.
I thought about you when the story came out. Break this down.
Yeah. Duke Johnson, really good player.
Yes.
For the Cleveland Browns.
Third year running back.
And, you know, he's very talented. He's been there for a while. He's produced. Every year he's been
good
there.
Good player.
Yeah. They keep on bringing in more and more players. So they,
at his position.
At his position. So I think they signed Hunt.
And they drafted
Nick Chubb
They drafted Chubb last year.
Yeah,
exactly. They're loaded up.
They're loaded up at that position. This is a young guy who's done everything that's been asked of him. He sees them continuously drafting more and more players at his position.
Writing is on the wall.
Exactly. He has a really short window. He's a running back, for crying out loud.
Four to five year window. Yes.
So he says, okay, I love Cleveland, but I need a trade because I see what these people are doing, and I don't think it's fair to me or my career. He has a legitimate beef. He has a legitimate gripe.
Absolutely.
Baker Mayfield, who still has this, I would say maybe it's a high school mentality.
Okay.
I don't think he's looking at, I don't think he sees the NFL for what it really is.
The business of it.
No. He doesn't see that. And he should, because he seems to be a smart guy. Mm-hmm. He comes out and he goes off on this guy. Oh, we want people who want a beer. If you're not on this train, then get off. And blah, 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 blah. As a player, there's not much that you can't do.
Very true.
Right?
Very true.
That is the one thing you are never allowed to do. You cannot do that under any circumstances because why your turn is coming, son.
You cannot discuss anybody's money.
Money. Your turn is coming, son. It always happens, Jason. It never fails.
It never fails.
I've never, matter of fact, Jason, I haven't seen it fail one time. It is 100% certain your time is coming.
Yes.
There's going to be a time in your career where the NFL's business is going to come hand in hand, is going to merge directly with your interests. And 100%. What are you going to do then?
How are you going to act?
How are you going to act then? How are you going to respond? And it seems like some people just don't. It's like they. In high school, I get it.
Yeah.
High school.
Because it's all about one for all. You know, we're here for the game.
Cool. High school, I get it. College, not so much, but you can still have that mentality
a little bit. You're still there. You're not. You're going to be with these players until you decide otherwise. You get drafted, you leave early, or your career is over.
Okay. Once you make it to the NFL, that is out of there, buddy. You are a business person now, no matter which way, no matter how anybody else wants to look at it. And I think the NFL does a great job of presenting it as just a game, you know, so the fans see it as just a game.
That's what the fans need to see.
Oh, but it's more than that.
It is more than that. Mm-hmm. When this happened, funny, I thought about a guy on another network making a comment on when you were sitting out for a contract. And he was a rookie, and his thing was like, I had never seen anything like that. He said, OC showed up every day. He was there. But when we went to practice, OC went on a bike in the corner. He's like, I had never seen anything. And it was a joke. He was laughing, but he was using it as an example of this. The main thing, I totally agree with you. This happened to another guy, a great friend of ours, Michael Strahan. Yes. I won't say the player who mentioned his name in his contract dispute, but it was another really good player. And Strahan shut it down.
Yeah.
In the New York media, hey, man, you don't get involved with this, your time's coming. Same way you said it.
Yep.
Leadership, right? I think we need to – this is very interesting because we need to watch this.
Keep your eye on that.
Yeah. Because as the season progresses – Cleveland has a lot of pressure on them because they got all the highlight players, which they do. Their O-line is a little shaky.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to overcome some things at the quarterback position.
Yes.
And keep all these receivers and everybody happy. You have to be the guy that everybody looks at when you take the snap from the center and you're the quarterback. It comes with a lot of responsibility. Yep. You have to be the fair referee.
Mm-hmm. You got to be almost beyond reproach.
You have to be a fair referee when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
You have to be the guy that's just making it fair.
Yeah.
And it's consistent. But this comment, people have now, they're going to be like, ooh, that's how you think?
Yeah.
So regardless of all the heavy lifting you've done already to get that respect, you got to get that back.
Yeah.
People want to talk. I talked to one of our insiders. We have insiders, me and you. I talked to one of our insiders about the New York situation.
Mm-hmm.
And our insider said to me, Daniel Jones is there for a reason.
Yeah.
You go interview these kids, this New York market will beat you down.
Yep.
I don't care how good you are. And I'm not saying this about any other quarterback. I'm just saying they understand that you have to have these skill sets that are personality driven.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you will lose.
Yeah.
And the quarterback position, you can't get involved with anybody's business but your own. When Aaron Rodgers, he's tricky. He's right on that knife's edge with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not really popping into other people's contracts.
Never.
Just his.
Brady, none of them do that.
None of them.
Then I say nothing.
Not a word.
Yeah. And you know the crazy thing about that is I think maybe he thought he was trying to ingratiate himself to the coaching staff. I don't know. But the coaches themselves, they know. And they don't respect that. And I'm going to tell you how I know this for a fact.
You would. You've been in this position more than anybody I know.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you how I know this for a fact. So when that whole situation with me and my contract was going on in New York, I got to tell you, okay, I was riding a stationary bike when everybody else was at practice. I was riding a bike.
At least you were standing
there. Yeah. So here's why I did that. Here's why I did it. Because I had been promised a new contract by the GM of the Giants. Promise. He was like, listen, you go out there and perform. We're going to take care of this for you. And I went out there and I performed. So now, you know, I'm like, listen, what's up? And all of a sudden, he had amnesia. All of a sudden, he don't remember that. Because I still had years left on my contract.
Right.
But so did Tuck. So did Kiwanuka.
Yep.
And they're like, if we do this for OC, Sheesh, we're going to have to do this for everybody. Pay them all. They had to dig in. I got that. But then, this is what you told me in my face. So I said, okay, what am I going to do? What am I going to do here? If I hold out, I have to pay these people $30,000 a day.
Yes.
For holding out.
That's where they get you.
$30,000 per day for holding out. So I said, dang, I can't do that. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, I have money, but I'm not trying to give it back to them.
I'm trying to get more.
Right. I said, what am I going to do here? You know what? All these things that I've had, my hip is hurting, my knee's hurting a little bit. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to tell them, guess what? Until I feel 100% healthy, I'm not stepping foot on that field. This is what I told them. So I go in there, and I tell them that. And literally, you could see the look, because this had never been really done before. So I could see the look on their face. They were like, that's interesting. Let's see how long this guy's going to do this for. So I show up there, J-Bell, every single day. Every day on time. They would go to practice. Where's OC? All you got to do is look to the side. This, Jason, do you understand the intestinal fortitude you have to have to sit there every day?
I don't have it. Okay. I don't have it.
Good.
I don't have
and
it.
And do that. Now, here's the interesting part. You know Tom Coughlin.
Yes, I do.
You know him.
Oh, yes, I do.
Tom Coughlin is as hard as they come, especially when it comes to injuries and all these type of things.
Oh, yeah, he's going to question you.
He calls me into his office, right? This was maybe about the third week of this.
Fiasco.
This is about the third week, and this is in New York, Jason. Everybody is like, what is OC doing? Oh. When is he going to practice? You know how the media is down there?
They don't miss a beat
to him.
Oh,
just,
Every day. And he don't want to talk about it.
He can't. I mean, this is Coughlin. So he calls me his office finally. He's like, OC, what's going on? Please tell me. OC, I need you to tell me what's going on here. So I sit there and I'm like, listen, coach, I was promised this. They didn't do this. And he looked at me, and you know what he said? I'll never forget this in my life, Jason. He was like, you know what? Handle your business.
Ooh, TC.
Tom Coughlin.
Wow.
Handle your business.
Wow.
And he never said anything else. The entire time I sat on that bike, he didn't say one more word. He didn't say nothing to the media. He didn't say nothing to anybody about what I was doing. Jason, I'm not talking about one of these young coaches. I'm talking about Tom Coughlin here. So the fact that he understood the business side of this and he himself knew they had tried to get rid of him.
Bam.
You understand what I mean?
Bam.
They had tried to get rid of him and we stood up for him. As players, we're like, nah. And we went out there, we balled, we won the championship. So he was like, nah, I understand how this works. I'm not getting involved in this. Wash his hand clean.
That couldn't have been a better example of what we are trying to convey. And I'm going to tell you why. Mm-hmm. Nobody will ever question Tom Coughlin's ability to lead a team.
Yep.
Right?
Never.
No matter how hard he was on you, you're like, people played,
they played
for Coughlin.
Yep.
He got you ready to go. You were always ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a leader does.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he set you in there and he asked you and you told him what you said, mm-hmm. and everybody know what kind of dude you were, mm-hmm. so he had high level respect. That, what did you do when you got back on the field? Did you play for Coughlin?
Straight balling.
Bam.
Straight balling.
Goes back to your point.
Mm-hmm.
People don't forget what you said to them
mm-hmm.
or about them
mm-hmm.
in a situation where you had influence with your words.
Yep.
And the fact is, everybody who played, when Coughlin came in there, I wasn't there when he came in and kind of changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
But all the people that at first were negatively affected by his behavior,
yeah.
You won two Super Bowls.
Yep. Crazy.
You won two Super Bowls, and you played for that man. That's leadership, man.
Yeah, yeah. It was incredible. Incredible.
That's
incredible. So those are the stories.
I think it's at that time. Is it that time, Simon?
Is it Ask J. Bell?
All right, all right.
All right, bro.
That was I'm going to tell you what, OC. I didn't know. You know, I have a list of questions and things. That's what you – the conversations you need to have in the off season, because as the season progresses, when we start talking about things and why teams are having issues they're having, we'll be like, man, this is what team building is all about. Yeah. And when you have any adversity, you better have people in your organizations that people respect.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I rode that bike, J-Bell. I rode that bike, bro. I mean, it was difficult, but I rode that bike.
On that, hey, what's funny is I didn't want to say this, but somebody in the organization calls me when that was happening.
Yeah.
Because I had just, you know, basically retired, and they go, oh, man, your boy LC. Every day. And you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. Every day, J-Bell. OC's on the bike. He comes, it's the knee. It's the this. He said, I've been with him, but it's gotta stop. It's gotta stop, J-Bell.
I know. It was a very difficult time for a lot of people.
Oh man, you pulled it off. Yeah. All right, here we go. Your favorite part.
Yeah,
you ready for this?
Let's do it, man.
Hashtag Ask OC, Ask J-Bell. This is from Matthew.
Okay.
Matthew. Let's see what Matthew has to say. I watched some of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders program on TV last week because it was before the Real Housewives.
I guess that's why he watched it.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. Okay.
No, we'll go with that story as why he watched
it. We'll take that. All right. We'll take that. What do you guys think of cheerleaders in this day and age? A bit outdated or a noble tradition? Interesting, Matthew. I think they're highly necessary.
Yeah.
It's a tradition.
That is a tradition. That is, I wasn't expecting that.
No, that's a good, when he started and he threw in before the Real Housewives, I was it's going to be funny. Uh-huh. And then I'm like, oh, this is a legit question.
I don't know how to answer that question.
I will say this, that there's so much entertainment in the NFL now. They got so many more other things going on. Before, it was just cheerleaders out there dancing, right? Like, that was entertainment. Now they got people shooting stuff in the stands, you know, all these TVs. It's like they are grabbing your attention every second of the game that the game's not on, right?
Yeah. It was the last part that he said. That's what threw me.
Yeah.
He was like, in this day and age. Yeah. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
As long as I don't know how to answer that, because I understand the entertainment value.
Yeah.
But do we necessarily need women
to be cheerleaders?
They're dressed in the little short.
Right.
You know, kicking the.
Yeah. And they've had. I mean, they've been exploited a lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, their pay. Wow, that's a good question.
I don't have no answer for you.
I have a cheerleader story.
Okay.
I think I've said this on the podcast before, but playing in a game.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
Yeah, okay.
TV timeout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and Willie D.
Yeah.
Back. D. So, D. We're, yeah, D. me and the other D. safety. We're back on a knee because it's the TV timeout. We're trying to catch our air. And it's, you know, you can hear stuff on the sideline.
Yeah.
And I hear a cheerleader go, "Hey, girl. Look at number 33.
Ooh.
And I went like this. I was breathing hard. I said, and nobody can see, but I sat up and I got real stoic. I held my stomach in. I didn't breathe harder. And my buddy Will did the same thing, and we looked at each other and started laughing. I said, are we that bad? We heard a cheerleader comment on us. We stopped being tired in a TV timeout. So, I think we need cheerleaders because that helped me get through the TV timeout.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I had to get out of that one.
That's cool.
Alex Foster. Are the Jags well enough equipped in the receiver position to go to the playoffs? Or do you feel it's all about Fournette getting back to his best? And let's see. Let's look at this. Let's look at this depth chart. All right. So we got starting. Let me see. I like Marquise Lee.
Yes, he's a good player. D.D. Westbrook's a good player also.
And Keenan Cole is good.
Yeah.
But they're going to be built on running the ball.
Okay. Let's look at Jacksonville. Okay. All right. Let's look at their offensive coordinator. Is it Gilbride?
Is he back?
I forget his name. But here's what I do know about their offensive coordinator. I think he came from Philadelphia. He's very familiar with Nick Foles.
That's the beauty of this.
Exactly. And that's why Nick Foles decided to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Philadelphia, over the past couple of years, who would you say is their standout, like their receiver that is better than most players in the league? Do they have one?
Alshon Jeffries.
Oh, well, yes, him. Yeah. But outside of him, would you say they have like a plethora of just top-notch receivers?
Last year, not this year. The year before that. Yeah, I mean, they've always had good tight ends, and they had Alshon Jeffries.
But not like a...
It hasn't been like this overall receiving core where you'd be like, oh, they're going to kill me. You know? But, they were good at the tight end position. They were good.
Yeah. So I think Jacksonville is going to rely mostly on the running game, their outstanding defense. And I think those receivers, with the system that's going to be put in place, I think those receivers are good enough to be able for them to make a pretty good run here, man. I don't think they're going to suck at all. I think they're going to be a good team.
I think you just made a good point, and I think that taking it to the team focus is exactly where we should. I think that Nick Foles, if this offense shows the ability to sustain drives, right, what happens when you have a good defense and your offense is, you know, shortchanging you?
Yeah.
You just stop
run
playing
out again.
Well.
You run out of gas.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. This dominant defense is going to get re-energized because they have really, really good top talent players. They lost their linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, there's something going on there, but – they're still going to be good, and I think Nick Foles being a leader, being able to manage that offense, move the ball, I think overall the team is going to be a little energized. I'm excited to watch them go, to be honest, man.
Yeah, you sound excited, man. You sound like an analyst just then.
I did?
Well, like, I'm excited. You put your glasses on. I'm excited to watch them go now.
You see how much I need football?
Yeah.
We start talking about football. I start, hey. You know what's exciting, though? I didn't know. Yeah. Terrell Pryor is there.
Yeah. Why are you excited about Terrell Pryor?
You think they're going to have a nice little package?
What kind of package?
He can throw the ball.
Okay.
He's flexible. He can do a lot of trick things with him. You don't see it coming?
Mm.
You're not convinced yet?
Mm.
You know, everybody, it's a copycat lead.
Yeah.
Okay. What did the Saints do?
Yeah. That was different, though, man.
Okay.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there might be a little bit of that with Terrell Pryor.
Okay.
We're in the middle of the offseason. I can say anything.
Yeah, you can
throw
it out.
Does not matter.
I got you. I see where you're going with that.
Russell Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
Any rumors on a landing spot for J-Train? Where is he a good fit? He's a good fit where somebody gets injured early in training camp.
Yeah.
I hate to say it because he's a starter.
Yeah.
The problem with him, I think, is people aren't trying to bring him in as a backup. When you are a starting player, people, sometimes you would understand this more than I would, but they think, hey, he needs to play. He's not going to just sit here, you know, and be a guy.
Yeah.
So if somebody loses a running back, do you think they would be a team?
I think they should. He's a bruiser. He's a downhill runner. Has some elusiveness, has some speed, but he's a physical football player, man, and I think he's a good football player. Where would you say has a need for a running back right now, though? I don't really think you see that.
It's, you know, people's rosters are built out, so, yeah, you're right. I think a good team with him would – I mean, something – I'm just going to say it. I'm not saying team, but they got too many running backs. But you think about the Rams, and you think about he wouldn't – it wouldn't be a fit there because they're loaded. Mm-hmm. But you think about a guy like Todd Gurley, right, who obviously there's questions on how much – the volume he could take.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
what about New England? Remember when they had LeGarrette Blount?
It
was just.
They're just so loaded at the running back position. Yeah. They got, you know, they're going to probably they're going to probably roll with five running backs.
That's crazy.
So is there a place for him now? No, but with the right guy. You see veterans, good players like him get on teams early in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
There's inevitably going to be injuries.
Yeah.
That's the game.
Okay.
Alan Furniss. What's for lunch, OC?
That's interesting, man. I'm not quite sure yet, you know. At least now we can afford lunch. At least
in
now
Singapore.
We know. Yeah, at least now we know we can eat.
Oh, this is the last one, man. Emma M.
Okay.
Are you watching the Women's World Football Cup, right? Mm-hmm. Did I say that right? Watching the Women's Football World Cup.
Yeah.
Right? That's better. Yeah. That's a better way, yeah. Team USA are going to win it, right?
Team USA has the best women's soccer team probably in the world. They're consistently up there.
They're so good.
Great, great football team. Have I been watching? No.
You know what I watched?
What's that?
Come on,
the Nigeria one. Yeah.
But
I haven't been watching. And okay. This is interesting. So you hear about the WNBA players and all these different women's leagues.
Yes.
They want equal pay.
Yes.
And things of that nature, which they should get. But I find it difficult to kind of marry the things that, because I feel like they should get that, but then from a business perspective, it's like I don't feel like as many people watch. So how do you now justify, from a paying perspective, how do you justify that?
It's tough.
You know? If not as many people are watching, how do you justify paying equally?
The Women's World Cup is so popular.
Yeah.
I know in the U.S., I mean, we watch the Women's World Cup more than the men's.
Yeah.
Because they were competitive.
Do you think so?
I definitely watched it more.
Yeah, but I would.
I don't know the legit statistics on it, but I felt like as a nation we were locked in because they were good.
They're always good.
Right. So,
but I'd be interested to see if more people overall watch the Women's World Cup in America as opposed to when the men are playing. Like, I would just be interested to see the number
of people, the
men's national team
for the U.S.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be interesting because I definitely watch the women's U.S.
team. Yeah. They're much better. They're the best team in the world.
Yeah, I'm
so,
like,
I wonder if we could get the numbers to
who are they?
Because the men's national team isn't that good.
No.
But the women are so superior.
They got an argument.
Yeah.
They got an argument, legit.
Yes, they literally should.
They're like, we win, and
more people may be watching.
Yeah. So they have, they have a.
You know who I saw? I was watching the last Women's World Cup, and I saw the Swedish team play. Mm-hmm. They were so good. They were so good. And, you know, I play soccer.
Yeah, so you understand. So,
yeah, and I'm looking. I'm like, oh, my God. So skillful. It was just incredible to watch, man. Incredible to watch.
I love sports. By the way, to some girl in the NCAA, you know, college, just broke the record in the 100 meters.
Yeah.
And it was a 10.7-something.
Impossible.
Fastest ever. Mm. And I was like, oh, my gosh, at my fastest. I couldn't. She got me.
That's crazy.
At the fastest I've ever been, I think I ran a 10.78 in high school.
Mm-hmm. She's faster than you.
She's faster.
she's in college? Or?
Yeah, she's in college. I just watched. Faster than me. I was like, this is amazing.
Moving. Do you remember Dominic Hixon?
Yes, the receiver.
The receiver. Now, Hixon was a legit.
Yeah, he could run.
Yeah. So I used to race people with the Giants. Me, Brandon Jacobs, we would literally race people.
Because you two were fast.
We were just fast.
Yes,
big and fast.
Real fast.
And people would see us, they'd be like, there's just no way. But then.
And you would win.
Yeah, so we would race people.
Yeah, I would never make that mistake.
I saw Hixon, and I started talking trash to him because he was talking about how fast he was. I was like, let me see what you got. So we got in our stance, Jason. And I have a fast start.
Yes, you do. That was your money.
Yeah. We took off. Uh-huh. And when I looked up, J-Bell, when I looked up, he was literally 5 yards in front of me. I just stopped.
Yeah.
I just walked away. He's like, those track people, it's a different speed.
It's a different game, man.
It's a different speed.
They are generating real power.
Yeah.
It's humbling.
Yeah. Right, he caught me completely off guard. Completely off guard.
It's humbling. Yeah. All right.
Let's do it.
Let's get out of here, man. Oh, I wanted to ask you about a humble brag, but I'll leave that next time.
Okay.
I found out what that means.
What is humble brag?
We'll talk about it next time.
Okay.
Let's write that down.
Humble brag. It's kind of kind of sounds like, you know, I some like Pied this. Piper type of stuff, man.
Back to the roots.
Yeah.
I like, who's going to rap on this?